Alone at her table, a scowl on her face. Vin tensed.
"Lady Venture," one of the women said, "perhaps you would let some of us introduce you at the party?"
Vin frowned.
"Please," the woman said very quietly.
Vin blinked in surprise. She'd expected the women to resent her, not listen to her. She glanced about. Most of the women looked so intimidated that Vin thought they might wilt away, like leaves in the sun. Feeling a little bemused, Vin nodded her head and let herself be led into the party for introductions.
Rashik wore both black and white. I think he wanted to show that he was a duality, preservation and ruin. This, of course, was a lie. After all, he had only touched one of the powers, and only in a very small way at that.
31.
Lord Breeze guessed correctly, Sazed said, standing at the front of their small group. As far as I can tell, the diversion of waters into this underground reservoir was intentional. The project must have taken decades. It required widening natural passageways so that the water, which once fed the river and canals above, instead flowed into this cavern.
"Yes, but what's the point?" Breeze asked. "Why waste so much effort to move a river?"
3 days in Urto had allowed them to do as Spook had suggested, moving their troops into the ministry building, ostensibly taking up residence inside of it. The citizen couldn't know about the cache, otherwise he would have ransacked it. That meant Sazed and his team held a distinct advantage, should events in the city turn ugly. They had pulled some of the furniture from the building above and arranged it, with sheets and tapestries to create rooms, amid the shelves in the cavern. Logic dictated that the cavern was the best place to spend their time, for should someone attack the ministry building, the cavern was where they wanted to be. True, they'd be trapped, but with the supplies they had, they'd be able to survive indefinitely and work out a plan of escape. Sazed, Breeze, Spook, and Aurianne sat in one of these partitioned-off areas among the shelves of food.
"The reason that the Lord Ruler made this lake is simple, I think." Sazed turned, glancing over his shoulder at the lake. "That water comes via an underground river, filtered, in all likelihood, through layers of rock. It is pure water, the likes of which you rarely see in the Final Empire. No ash, no sediment. The purpose of that water is to sustain a population should a disaster occur. If it were still flowing into the canals above, it would quickly get soiled and polluted by the population living in the city." "The Lord Ruler was looking to the future," Spook said, still wearing his strange eye bandage. He'd turned aside all questions and promptings regarding why he wore it, though Sazed was beginning to suspect it had to do with burning tin. Sazed nodded at the young man's comment. "The Lord Ruler wasn't worried about causing financial ruin in Urto. He just wanted to make certain this cavern had access to a constant flowing source of fresh water."
"Isn't this all beside the point?" Aurianne asked.
"So we have water. What about that maniac running the city?"
Sazed paused, and the others turned to look to him.
"I am unfortunately in charge." "Well," he said, "we should speak of this. Emperor Venture has asked us to secure the city. As the citizen has proven unwilling to meet with us again, we shall need to discuss other options."
"That man needs to go," Spook said. "We need assassins."
"I fear that wouldn't work very well, my dear boy," Breeze said.
"Why not?" Spook asked.
"We killed the Lord Ruler, and that worked pretty well."
"Ah," Breeze said, raising a finger.
"But the Lord Ruler was irreplaceable. He was a god, and so killing him created a psychological impact on his populace."
Aurianne nodded.
"This citizen's not a force of nature, but a man, and men can be replaced.
If we assassinate Quellian, one of his lackeys will simply take his place.
And we will be branded as murderers, Breeze added.
What then? Spook asked. We leave him alone?
Of course not, Breeze said. If we want to take this city, we need to undermine him, then remove him. We prove that his entire system is faulty, that his government is, in essence, silly. If we manage that, we won't just stop him, we'll stop everyone who has worked with him and supported him. That is the only way we're going to take Urto, short of marching an army in here and seizing it by force.
And since His Majesty kindly left us without any troops to speak of, Aurian said, I am not convinced that such rash action is required, Sazed said. Perhaps, given more time, we'll be able to work with this man.
Work with him? Spook asked. You've been here 3 days. Isn't that enough for you to see what Quellian is like?
I have seen, Sazed said, and to be perfectly honest, I do not know that I can fault the citizens' views.
The cavern fell silent.
Perhaps you should explain yourself, my dear man, Breeze said, sipping at a cup of wine.
The things that the citizen says are not false, Sazed said. We cannot blame him for teaching the very same things that Kelsier did. The survivor spoke of killing the nobility. Goodness knows we all saw him engaging in that activity often enough. He spoke of revolution and of Ska ruling themselves.
He spoke of extreme actions during extreme times, Breeze said. That's what you do when you need to motivate people. Even Kelsier wouldn't have taken it this far.
Perhaps, Sazed said. But can we really be surprised that people who heard Kelsier speak have created this society? And what right have we to take it from them? In a way, they've been truer to Kelsier than we have. Can you really say that you think he'd be pleased to find out that we put a nobleman on the throne not 1 day after he died?
Breeze and Spook glanced at each other, and neither contradicted him.
It's just not right, Spook finally said. These people claim to know Kelsier, but they don't. He didn't want people to be grim and bullied. He wanted them to be free and happy.
Indeed, Breeze said. Besides, we did choose to follow Elend Venture, and he's given us an order.